This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Thanks for streaming WSOY on NowDecatur.com. This stream is presented by Hickory Point Bank, Invested. Their investment in Decatur is an investment in everyone who calls Decatur home.
County Health Department reported 68 additional cases of COVID-19 since Friday. Macon County has now had a total of 10,580 cases of COVID-19 since the start of the pandemic. The state may be able to soon enter the bridge phase of COVID-19 mitigations. Enough seniors are vaccinated for Illinois to move into the bridge phase, but COVID hospitalizations are still a concern. Governor J.B. Pritzker says it appears that that's changing.
It looks to me like we're on a decent trajectory. I can't say exactly what day that is, but it feels to me, it looks to me, if you look at all the hospital admissions data, like we're in decent shape and moving exactly as I would hope we would toward the bridge phase.
The governor has extended the moratorium on evictions until May 29th. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, go to NowDecatur.com.
The Getting America Back on Track Tour. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News. That's what they're calling it at the White House, as President Biden and members of his administration are on the road this week selling his infrastructure, jobs, and family spending plans.
The president and first lady visited a community college to highlight a pillar of his $1.8 trillion American Families Plan. He stressed the plan giving access to child care and pointed to that as why women are disproportionately hurt by this economy.
There's millions of women out of work today, not because they're not qualified for the jobs they have, but they can't take care of their children and do their job.
Republicans say the high cost of the president's plan will raise taxes. The president says he intends for the wealthy to pay their fair share. Grinnell Scott, Fox News.
At least 23 people are killed with dozens hurt when a train overpass collapses onto a road in Mexico City. A crane's being used to hold the train up for workers clearing debris and looking for anyone trapped. There is storm damage in several states across the South. Two people are killed in Georgia, including a man hit by a tree.
It was high winds here in the city of Douglasville that brought down a large tree onto the roadway. Unfortunately, a prominent restaurant owner was driving down Camelton Street at the time. That tree crushed his SUV and killed him.
Doug Evans with Fox 5 Atlanta. Court documents show Bill and Melinda Gates do not have a prenuptial agreement, but have agreed on how they'll split up their fortune.
The billionaire philanthropic couple making the announcement on Twitter that they're divorcing. Their statement talks about raising three incredible children and building a foundation which they will continue to work on together. However, Bill and Melinda Gates say they can no longer grow together as a couple. Bill Gates is one of the wealthiest men in the world and worth around $130 billion. Gates made his fortune as the co-founder of Microsoft, a venture he started in 1970. About 20 years before he tied the knot with Melinda.
Fox's Hillary Barsky. America's listening to Fox News.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshares. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, well, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder and CEO of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sounds crazy, right? Well, the crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-885-9797. 800-885-9797. 800-885-9797.
As wedding season kicks off, newlyweds and guests in Washington, D.C. are told no electric slide, no cha-cha slide, no chicken dance.
Many couples have been waiting out COVID pandemic restrictions and looking forward to their wedding day. But in Washington, D.C., they should not look forward to dancing.
I thought this was a party! Let's dance!
Seemingly ripped straight out of the plot of Footloose, D.C.'s new social distancing rules ban dancing at weddings. Democrat Mayor Muriel Bowser's office says it has the prohibition in place as an extra layer of safety. The nation's capital isn't completely alone in the crackdown. Illinois and Michigan have similar dance floor bans in place. Tom Graham, Fox News.
People in New Jersey are being offered a new incentive to get coronavirus shots.
So far, about 45% of New Jersey adults, about 3 million, are now fully vaccinated. Not enough for New Jersey's governor.
We're not going to be afraid to try new things.
In an effort to get more vaccinated, the state announced the Shot and Beer Program. Adults over 21 getting their first vaccine in the month of May get a free beer.
Chris O'Connell with WTXF-TV. 12 New Jersey breweries are taking part in the program. From free beer to free tacos because of the moon tonight.
Taco Bell is celebrating tonight's waning crescent moon by giving out free tacos. The chain has renamed the lunar phase, now referring to it as the Taco Moon due to its taco-esque shape. You can get a free regular crunchy taco between 8 and 11:59 p.m. local time.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers. A man accusing the actor Kevin Spacey of sexually abusing him in the 1990s when he was 14 years old may only continue his federal lawsuit if he allows his name to be used in court. That's the ruling by the judge overseeing the case in New York. So far, he's just gone by CD. He wants more than $40 million in damages. I'm Chris Foster, Fox News.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere, located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Good morning. Here's a look at your WSOY three-day weather forecast. Today, we've got showers and a high near 60. Tonight, a 40% chance of rain up till 10 p.m. It'll be cloudy during the evening and then clear with a low around 43. For Wednesday, sunny with a high of 64. And Thursday, rain is back in the forecast, 50-50 shot of it, partly sunny with a high near 64. The current temperature in downtown Decatur is 59 degrees, and your WSOY time is 6:06.
Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday, May 4th edition of Byers & Company. You know what May 4th means. We'll talk about that. Kyle May will join us, the mayor, Chris Valdez. We'll have Tupper on Sports, Dale Coley, Tom Schneider, Tony Holly from the Community Foundation. Big show today. Company starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Good morning and welcome. We're back here on a Tuesday, May 4th. That whole May the 4th be with you thing is interesting. You're not wearing a hat, which is really sort of throwing me for a loop here this morning. You have hair.
I don't wear a hat because I'm balding. I just love to wear hats, and I forgot to grab one.
One could lead to the other, I'm glad to see that all that's still working. Did you get a new haircut, or is that just sort of the normal
I did get a haircut, but I just forgot my hat.
That seems strange. That would be like forgetting my watch or forgetting for you. I mean, that's a regular accoutrement.
It is. And as I was driving, as I was sitting in my driveway and I was at the teetering point of I didn't really have time to go back in. I was like,
go back in?
Yeah. I had that unnerving feeling. So I tapped my pocket, made sure I had my wallet, made sure I had my phone. The hat didn't make the cut.
I got you. It happens. We have a lot to talk about today. We had a wild and woolly evening last night with the weather, and thankfully, I'm sure there was some damage somewhere, and have not scoured all the coverage of surrounding counties this morning, but we went through quite a bit yesterday evening with the tornado warnings and the thunderstorm warnings. There was hail in places, a lot of rain in others, and it was one of those weird nights where you go outside, and I know that's not what you're supposed to do, and you see the clouds moving in two different directions.
Yeah.
You know, that's always sort of an eerie sign, or that green look that the mm-hmm. sky gets when you it doesn't mean that every time the sky looks like that, you're going to get hit with something, but every time we've been hit with something, the sky looks like that.
Exactly right. And a couple other things weird with the sky, which was the theme of last night. I looked to my left. It is dark, dark navy blue. And I looked to my right, and it looks like, hey, nice little April, hey. little March, beautiful spring day. And then about an hour later, the whole world was orange, which I don't know if you peeked outside when the sun just decided to put out its best orange color cast on the
yep,
on the world.
I did. Hopefully everyone hunkered down and was safe. I did notice that there's one thing I would like to say about this subject matter. I know that the TV weather guys always get a lot of crap. I mean, no matter what. And this goes back, when I started this show, it would have been like Bob Murray or whatever. And then, of course, our good buddy and pal, Joe Bauer was there. And then I know I'll be leaving people out. But, you know, there's been a long history of guys and gals, you know, that are meteorologists. And they have an incredibly tough job. I don't know what time the TV coverage started, probably way early and probably goes too long. I mean, I think those are fair criticisms, but that is an incredibly tough job to do.
Yeah, you don't have the exact information. I mean, you have
have a commercial break. No. You don't have anything. It's just wall to wall go. And so you're giving the best information out that you can, and they are much better today and have been for years as far as their training, and they really do understand the science behind all of this. Are they too dramatic at times? Yeah, probably. But they also, I am sure, feel the pressure of, you know, that what they're doing could save someone's life. I mean, you know, if you're telling people that, you know, get to shelter and get into an interior room with no windows and take cover and do all of that. And everyone is like a critic, like a TV critic. We used to have like a very small field of TV critics, that worked for newspapers or whatever. And now everyone, you know, with a social media account is a critic of the weather people. And I would just suggest to you, there are very few of you out there that would be able to stand in front of a camera with no script, no commercials, no one really to lean on, and just give you all of that breaking information and make it make sense and put all the shots up and play with all the Doppler stuff and do all of the things that they do for that extended period of time, much harder than you think it is.
Yeah, there's one other layer when the actual, you know, the weather person who is working on the, you know, the weather, presenting it to you, but also gathering the data, might need to step away for a few minutes to get the next batch of data, you know, to be able to run. Whoever has to fill in that other, those few minutes right there and not sound like a complete novice and say the wrong thing, it is difficult. And I'm not sure where you were going with that, but I watched a good amount of coverage last night and felt like I was pretty well informed, and I listened to some coverage and I read some coverage, and
Listen, you know, not everyone's style is everyone's style. Right. I get all of that. But I just wish that people would take a moment to realize what an incredibly hard job that is.
It is.
If you were watching somebody do something in a work environment that was really hard, and the only thing you knew about it was just looking at it, man, that looks really hard. I don't think that always translates to someone on TV or whatever, reacting as the information is coming in. And I I'll tell you this, the National Weather Service, locally, is slow to get to what you need. You have more information at your fingertips now in regards to, a storm or whatever it might be, a tornado, based on just the technology at hand, as long as the cellular service is working, you're going to get those alerts to your phone. You're going to get now Decatur text. You're going to get, information on social media. So you've never had more information at your fingertips than you do today.
Right.
Coming right to you. You don't even have to go look for it. And you could tell some of the frustration last night was, I'm looking at this Doppler and I'm knowing that there should be a warning now for this area. And that warning is taking minutes longer than it should, coming from the National Weather Service.
Yeah, especially when you put that in relation to the storm itself, it had a 3-minute path from being, what would that be, Nyanic or Harristown to Decatur.
Yeah.
3 minutes only. 3 minutes matter in this, to your point.
Seconds matter.
Yeah.
And we went through the same thing on the east end of town, when it got here. So you're getting an alert sent by the National Weather Service to your phone, but local National Weather Service is behind that. And then you have sirens, and then you're trying to put all of this into a timeline and do it live on the air. I mean, it is just tough. That's all I'm saying. Could you give them a little bit of a break?
Yeah. But yeah, please do. I did hear a word I didn't know was a word last night. Tornadic.
Oh yeah,
I've never heard that. I don't think, or I've forgotten.
Oh really?
Maybe I've forgotten.
Yeah. You can go to that ride down at Universal or whatever, where the big fake cow's flying through the air and hear that. Goes back to the Helen Hunt days.
Good. Okay, never mind. I do.
There's always new verbiage and new vocabulary in and around, and I think that's the Weather Channel, right? When you've got it, just like cable news can be blamed to some extent on the political divide we have in this country, because you got to fill 24/7 with whatever. I think with the Weather Channel, we come up with new names, we come up with new descriptions, and that's all fine. These guys today and gals are pretty well trained and know their stuff. You might not like the delivery. You maybe think they're a little too dramatic, or maybe more dramatic than they should be, or whatever the complaint is. But, man, I'm telling you, standing there in front of that camera with no backup and no commercial breaks and somebody that's going to pop in audio-wise for you every little bit so that you can check, exactly what's going on, that's a tough gig.
And a moving target with the news you're trying to present. If you had a lot set.
Literally moving at 35 miles an hour across, central Illinois, and a very serious situation. I mean, no one likes going to an interior room or a basement or any of that. You still have way too many people that want to go stand out in the driveway and watch it transpire or unfold. That seems to me a guy thing. I'm sure there are women that do it, but I don't mean that as a compliment. I mean that the exact opposite way. Like your observational powers are going to somehow alter or change or keep anyone safe so that you can go ahead and take care of your own curiosity at your family's risk. All of those things happen during the middle of these types of storms. We've had a recent, here locally in Macon County, a pretty good run the last couple of years of not having to deal with a lot of this.
Yeah, when was that one in Taylorville? Has that been a couple of years now?
That was Christmas time, and there was a parade going on. So, clearly, I want to say it was 2 years ago. It wouldn't surprise me if you told me it was three.
Yeah. It still feels kind of fresh to me.
Or maybe this December it would be three years. I think would probably be right, but it could have been too. So yes, we live in Central Illinois. This is just part of what we do and part of the weather pattern. And it was creepy last night. I mean, it had all of the makings from a non-scientific point of view, just an anecdotal observational point of view of being what could have been a bad night.
Oh yeah. And you know what? As far as rain goes, since rain hasn't been mentioned at all, it started off giving me one raindrop every 15 seconds. I mean, not even worth calling it rain a bit. Then it got to the point where brand new gutters couldn't even hang in because it was pouring out of a bucket for about 20 minutes at a rate that I've not seen in quite some time. It was certainly a wide range of different type of rain.
Absolutely. If anyone out there had wind damage or any sort of damage, I don't know of any touchdowns, here in Macon County. Certainly there was enough to blow the sirens and get everybody worried for a little while. And then it was heading, after here down towards Bethany and Sullivan and Mattoon and that area. I feel like we dodged most of the bullet last night.
Yeah, do you think when they test the sirens today that people are going to be a little on edge given what happened last night?
Probably. It's the first Tuesday of the month, and Nick's exactly right. Coming up at 10 a.m., you'll hear that across the county. No one likes the sound of those sirens. And everyone is always – weather is one of those things that I feel like people are universal critics of. Like you know more – than the experts. Like, and I don't know why that is. I mean, I don't think anybody would go to Bob Brady and go to the mechanical side, in the auto shop where somebody's like changing oil or fixing a radiator and go, nope, that's not the way you should do that. I mean, you wouldn't just stand on the sidelines and tell someone how to do their job.
No, you probably wouldn't, but I think I understand the psychology behind why so many people think they're experts, because weather is something that everybody experiences. Your entire life is a body of work at analyzing weather to some degree, and your eyeballs currently are giving you all the data that you need, and that's why. But in reality...
But your eyeballs aren't
giving you correct.
The data.
In reality, you're only seeing what your eyeballs see and not even 10 miles in the other direction.
Part of the problem, as was pointed out last night by the guy on WAND, and I thought he did an admirable job, is that when you have so much rain in one of these storms, that these are the kind of most dangerous tornadoes because there's so much rain cover, you can't see clear skies, you don't even know that it's there.
Exactly. Yeah, visibility becomes a major issue when you've got all those droplets breaking it up and you can't see through the distance, and so you're exactly right. It'll sneak up on you when rain's involved.
Or it can. Mm-hmm. And I saw one of those cam shots of South Shores. You couldn't even see South Shores.
No.
I mean, it looked like a whiteout.
No. No, you couldn't. It was unbelievable. And I've seen shots from Blue Mound as well, where it's like the cloud looks like a big isolated mushroom cloud from an explosion. And then, like I said, from my vantage point, it looked like the sky just wanted to turn navy blue in a big, big way.
Yeah. The navy blue doesn't bother me. It's the green that bothers me. There is a certain tint at a certain point that every tornado that I have lived through, meaning actual tornadoes, had that tint of color in the sky. Now, that is nothing. I have nothing in the way of meteorology training or anything like that. I'm just saying anecdotally that's what it looks like. So anyway, last night, I hope everyone was safe. We've got a lot of news to cover. Howard Buffett for sheriff. This story breaks yesterday. I have some interesting insights into that. One of the things that you're not going to hear is that the billboards went up a week earlier than they were supposed to. They were, from my understanding, supposed to go up a week from tomorrow, which means there was a vacuum of information about not having a press release or any sort of announcement, and everyone was caught by surprise by that. Howard is in Nebraska finishing up planting, so Tom Schneider, who is with his campaign, will join us a little bit later in the program at 7:50. We'll talk about that and why that seemed to sort of catch everybody off guard or by surprise yesterday. That happened right before all the tornado stuff. It's amazing how the news cycle will shift in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I mean, that's a fast news cycle there when it's a 10-minute cycle.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden, oh, look in the sky. All right, Kyle May will join us on the other side of the break. We have Courtney Carson. I just got an email from Chris Valdez. Chris is catching a flight this morning, so Courtney Carson will be sitting in. The mayor will be with us. Dale Coley a little later today. Tony Holly from the Community Foundation. Nick and I have a lot to talk about. And how did this whole May the 4th be with you thing start? There's a really cool DMH story they're doing with newborns today, and we'll get into the bottom of that. Right now, Nick Smith has your three-day forecast. Back with more right after this.
Today, we've got some showers and a high of 60. Tonight, 40% chance of showers, mainly up until 10 p.m. Cloudy during the evening, then clear with a low of 43. For Wednesday, sunny with a high near 64. And Thursday, 50% chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 64. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 57 degrees, and your WSOI time is 6:24.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With this beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
The all-new NowDecatur.com. Informative, compelling content for an engaged community. NowDecatur.com is a fresh, lifestyle-driven look at what's happening in town. Features, videos, podcasts, photos, with no pop-up ads and things to keep you from the content you want. And it's all free, thanks to our partners. Check out the amazing things happening at Millikan University and how Richland Community College is training the workforce of tomorrow. It's all available now at NowDecatur.com.
Hello, this is Wayne Kent. You're like me, striving to make sense of what seems like a culture gone crazy with far too many crazies. And I wonder, where did they all come from? And why did they just show up now? I've hosted WSOY's Direct Line since 2005. I'm clergy. Yep, a preacher. I preach with all sorts of questions and queries that probably echo your thoughts, public and private. I might even have some questions you've not considered, particularly about the crazies. On Direct Line, we examine the stuff of the day, seeing if there's any religious link to what's occurring in our community, around the globe, the sorts of questions those events bring to us, including the crazies. And I'm interested in what you think, too, so join me each Wednesday evening at 5 p.m. on News Talk 1340 AM WSOY and 103.3 FM with streaming and podcasts available at nowdecatur.com. We'll chat about this and that and that and this, striving to make some sense of the crazies in your life, my life, and even the really wild crazies the other crazies don't understand.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Kyle May is back with us on this Tuesday, fresh off a weekend, 100 miles of gravel and really hilly terrain. That was the description he sent to me last night. Tell me about what you were doing this weekend, and talk to me a little bit about what it was like just to go to an event and have a lot of people there.
Yeah, so a couple of us from Decatur went down to the Tour Herman in Herman, Missouri, and it's known for the Katy Trail. It's kind of a little German town. It's kind of cool. But they take you, well, the Katy Trail's flat, and it runs all the way from St. Charles all the way across Missouri, but they have you ride on it for a little bit and then ride all the hills around Herman. So it was 2 days, 100 miles each day, Saturday and Sunday, and pretty hilly. So I'm a little tired from that, so... yeah, it was our 7-year anniversary of Fleet Feet, and I was off riding my bike. And
Listen, I'm tired just listening to you talk about it, and I you know, that is crazy. We were out in Moab in the September of last year, watching those guys ride all. I mean, those hills and peaks and going up mountains and stuff. That's insane. But more importantly, you were talking to people who were there, and it was a pretty good turnout. What was it like, just socially, you know, to be out there with you know, people you know, strangers, just having people in a group getting together and doing something in a safe way?
Yeah, they had a record turnout. I really think as things come back online, people are going to appreciate having them, everything, like anything from a concert to an event like this. So, yeah, it sold out at like 300 people. Most everybody that I had talked to was vaccinated and feeling pretty healthy and safe about everything. So It was great doing something a little bit more back to normal. And I think that, yeah, the response is going to be really good whenever things are coming back online. It was hard. I'm still tired. So.
All right. Well, listen, this is self-inflicted, my friend. No one's making you go do this. So
wondering why we're there.
Yeah, well, I can answer that question for you, but it's an extra separate charge. All right, your next door event, the big run on June 2nd for the 6 year. Tell me about this.
Yeah, we just had our 7 year anniversary run, and that went over really well, and it was our first in-person event in a long time. So our next one is going to be June 2nd, the big run. So it's National Running Day, that first Wednesday in June. So Fleet Feet, for several years now, has had an event that day. So we're going to do a 5K, we're going to do it timed, and we're going to do our dam route where you run down Oakland to the dam and back. So you can sign up for an in-person event or a virtual one. It's free, but if you want to do a commemorative shirt and a finisher medal, it's a small fee for that. So we just open up registration on fleetfeetdecaturil.com under the events tab, or we made a Facebook event for it. We're going to limit the amount of people just so it's not too crazy, and try to be responsible with that. And then we're going to have some, individual, post-race snacks outside in the parking lot and stuff afterwards too. So, it's a little less than a month away. So yeah, if you want to get ready for a 5K, we got one coming.
All right. Talk to me, on the retail side of things. I know that, you guys are learning more and more, about, the pressure plate thing, the 3D printed insoles, got a lot of new shoes in, Patagonia stuff that's in, the Gooder sunglasses. I can't give you a bigger endorsement. They're just my absolute favorite. But you guys are set up and doing really well. But you got Mother's Day coming up this week, right? And I think that, if mom wants to get healthy or mom's a health fitness, fanatic, Fleet Feet would be a great place to stop for Mother's Day this week.
Yeah, and we like picking out stuff too instead of just, I mean, we do gift cards and they work really, really well, but yeah, you know, a pair of Gooders or these Theraguns, these percussion massager things have been selling extremely well. We got some new shoes that have dropped, the Saucony Ride just updated and it looks great. Brooks Adrenaline Ghost, we got some new colors of those. New Balance More, which is a high cushion shoe from them, just updated with a new version that looks really, really good. And a new shoe for us is a New Balance Rebel, which is a really fast, light shoe. So if you want to PR one of these 5Ks coming up, that's a good one for that. We also just got refreshed on the Hoka Gaviota and the Arahi, which we've been out of for a little bit because of some stock shortages. So, yeah, we're sitting pretty good on some footwear right now and some new stuff, too. So, yeah, it's always something going on. And, yeah, think of us for Mother's Day gifts.
Yeah, take mom into the store. Do the whole thing. And because all of those brands you just mentioned, you probably wear in a different size, if you're like most people. And so hard to sometimes buy off the shelf. Take mom in and do the whole thing.
We love
that. Yeah, absolutely.
Our fit process with the 3D scanner and that new pressure plate that we have. So you stand on this little thing, it does a 3D scan, you walk across this plate back and forth, it tells us all the hot spots on your foot, and we can help recommend a lot of things off of that. We keep doing training on them to learn more and more things about it and what it does. And then you can do 3D printed personalized insoles off of it too, and that's been really, really cool, and people are liking those. So, but a lot of good stuff going on.
All right, Kyle. Have a great week, my friend. Fleet Feet, 1088 Westwood. You can go to fleetfeetdecaturil.com to check out the latest about any of the events or products that we just talked about. The supply chain thing is crazy right now, Nick. We knew when that big cargo ship was stuck down, the Panama Canal. I mean, you understood. But, I mean, right now, everything, prices are going up, like for food. I mean, there's some real supply chain management issues going on in the world today.
Yeah, you mentioned the ship being stuck, but also consumption is up in a lot of stuff as well. So we're burning faster than what we normally do, and so coincidentally, it's not the actual end item that we can't get to; it's the pieces that are needed to make the items, and so we are really like burning this thing at every end possible. The full effect has not been felt yet, and won't be for probably a couple of years.
No, I mean, from Apple to Domino's Pizza, I was reading an article in the Wall Street Journal this week that U.S. companies are really scrambling to meet the surge, to your point, in demand. Mm-hmm. Part of it is a logistical issue that's been going on for a while. The pandemic comes in last spring and everything goes into shutdown, and then people go, oh, man, I want a bike, and then everybody tries to go out and buy a bike, and then there's only so many bikes. Some of that is a natural spinoff of just circumstances. But right now we're seeing it. I mean, gas prices are way up. Food prices are going up. An action and a reaction with everything we do as people. And this surge in demand is causing a little bit of a blip.
Yeah, you also see where some ingredients or parts are being bid on by companies that generally just, they both get the same amount, and now it's like, well, hey, we'll pay a little more to get them here, which is bringing the prices up. I mean, there's just every combination of everything. Plus, also, let's not forget good old human spirit where, hey, people are willing to spend the money. Let's just go ahead and charge more anyway.
Yeah, and we have been talking about this for years with Bart Jennings and the people that are in supply chain management understand this explicitly. But I'm amazed how many companies get caught flat-footed, just not realizing, how all of this works. And then you look into the semiconductors and some of the stuff that you need for the technology. That's really putting a world of hurt on people.
Yeah, and that's the ones that will feel the most, as time comes, because with technology, there's been kind of a clock established by a lot of brands, especially Apple's probably the main one, where every year around this time, we debut new devices and we kind of look to see what's happening. But if there's not going to be the pieces there to deliver in a year on something, you're going to see technology maybe have to take a back seat for a little bit.
And all you have to do is look to executives and their financial reports, to their board of directors or to their, about everything from Apple to Tempur Sealy mattresses, telling their people, man, this could dip into profits first quarter, second quarter. It's going to happen. I mean, it's a thing.
Yeah, what's thriving though, Brian, and isn't going to be hurt is all this digital stuff. I mean, because the supply is there, and if the demand's there to meet it, you don't have to worry about supply chain in that same way. And so I think
you're talking about something delivered to you digitally. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. But the device that you're using to get that delivered is right in the middle of all of this.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're going to be stuck with the devices you currently have, and maybe not the ones that you thought you were going to purchase.
Speaking of that, and on to that, I read yesterday that there's some speculation going on that next year may be the debut of the foldable phone from Apple. What is our fascination with a foldable phone?
Well, it's the pinch and zoom for pictures. It's something that we fantasized about. It's something that...
But what is the particular... I mean, my device, I like it just fine. I don't need to go back to sort of a flip phone feel, of like opening it. I don't need to make it any more compact. It slides into my pocket or my back pocket. I feel like sometimes we just follow these tendencies just because, why not?
I think there's some wow factor. I think you get more screen real estate. It gives you the opportunity to have dual things going on, which is a big deal, that you could have multiple tasks going on. I think that's huge for this use case where maybe the top part of your screen is your Netflix and the bottom part is whatever you're reading or working on or your email and stuff. I think that those types of scenarios are pretty valuable, but also just the wow factor.
Okay. I just wonder, is it something you're clamoring for? I mean, I'm pretty happy with my phone experience.
If they give me dual screen, okay, and the camera doesn't, the use of the camera doesn't take any diminish, but I can get two different things going at once, I will clamor for that. If it's just, I want a bigger square screen or something like that, I'll probably sit it out.
Okay. I also, do you think that this blurring of devices will continue, meaning that we will shrink the amount of devices? I mean, because I have different devices that I use, for different things, right? I don't really consume a lot of entertainment on my phone. I read news stories, I do information, but if I'm going to watch something, I'm going to watch it on my iPad or my tablet rather than my phone.
Yeah, I think if you look, the writing is pretty clear on the wall for this one that companies are trying to make it to where I imagine there will be a wider variety of different devices because they're developing content and services that are going to make the devices matter less, meaning you should be able to take your experience on the big rectangle on the wall, the foldable one in your pocket, the one on the dashboard in your car, when windows become digital, like physically looking outside windows, not Microsoft Windows, but as surfaces become screens, the device size, shape, and scope are not going to matter anymore.
Okay. I think I don't disagree with anything you just said. I think there are already three different foldable phones mm-hmm. available on the market. Motorola has one, Samsung has one, and I forget the other brand, one of the Asian country brands, starts with an H. I'm drawing a blank. Anyway, if the demand, you know, for just that function was there, wouldn't you see a bigger market share going to those companies? Like, in other words, it's not worth it for me to leave the Apple brand to get to this feature that everyone seems to be clamoring for.
Here's why. I think in this very unique situation, that is not likely to happen. I think they probably did tick up, based on those, but not in any meaningful way. That they're waiting for the gorilla. If you were interested in that idea, you weren't hopping over to LG or Motorola or whoever you said. You were going to wait until Apple did it, and when they did, you'd buy that one. And that's when, you have trust in Apple.
Sometimes I think we just fall in love with the fairy dust. I don't know that foldable is that big a thing to most people. Is it cool? Yes. I'm not against it. I just think, but if that's what people really want, like that was on the top of your list of demands for the mobile experience, you would hear more about Motorola or more about Samsung's mm-hmm. foldable phone. I mean, it made a splash when it entered the market. When was the last time you heard about it?
I've never seen one like out in the wild. Like, I mean, as a
that's
person
I mean.
Pulling it out of their pocket. But the
right.
cost
I mean,
is
never been at the grocery store in line or whatever and watch somebody use one.
Yeah. And I think that what you're going to see, Apple has done this pretty successfully. We don't buy into Samsung the same way in our culture as we do Apple. I mean, their AirPods, the headphones have gotten lots more people wearing headphones. We're going to see people wearing Apple glasses. A lot more people are going to look like you and I with glasses on because they're wearing the Apple glasses and I think that if they decide to do the flip phone or the foldable phone, we'll see a lot more people with those.
We probably will. I just think that there is a tendency in tech and it's a good thing overall. You know, they're constantly striving to bring you the new, but I think that the long smart run is to be really good at what you do and your brand rather than chasing every flashy thing. Because you think, oh, this little thing will distract and keep people happy. I mean, I don't know. It's hard for me to describe. I just think Apple does better with their brand than chasing down every flashy thing that comes and goes in the world of phones.
They're the only phone that has a brand in the United States in any super meaningful way. That doesn't mean Samsung isn't making awesome phones and that millions of people don't have them, but they're not wearing jackets that would say Samsung phone holder, and they're not putting a sticker on their computer.
No, they're not. And if you looked at that thing that we talked about with teens in that recent study, they've got almost a 90% share of the market for the people who are going to be buying these phones for the next 40 years.
Yeah, it's part of their fashion. It's part of the culture, so that doesn't surprise me. And I don't know. I mean, we'll see what they continue to do to innovate, to keep people going. But I think it's super clear that these devices are just going to be little carriers, for us to reach the stuff as cloud computing happens and all the heavy lifting can happen in the space. The
right.
technology needs to do less when it comes to us because all the hard lifting is out there.
I agree with that completely. I just don't know how all that shakes out as far as, how many devices you'll have. What does it all boil down to? Will one drive all the rest of them? Right now they're pretty separate. I mean, if you're an Apple family, you can share. I mean, the access from Apple TV to the phone to the tablet all is very interactive and you can use it and do things. It's still very much three different devices.
Yeah, and from a developer standpoint, you have to develop an app You can get really close now. It's a lot better than it was. But you were developing an app for Android.
Or both.
An app iOS, a desktop version, a mobile version.
Oh, yeah. Because nothing was worse than, like, opening an app on your tablet that was clearly built for a phone, you know.
Right.
And okay, well, I found that interesting. They're suggesting maybe next year. They got the patent for it in 2017, and so clearly you would think somewhere down the line. I just don't know if it's that big a draw for me. I'm like you, the camera is important to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I never would have thought that, you know, 15 years ago that we had cameras and phones, but that wasn't, you know, the way you really took good pictures. But to me, that may be one of the most important features.
It's probably, I mean, aside from it functioning for communication, the camera is the second most important. But now if I can multitask and do some of my heavier applications, like my Adobe Creative stuff on my phone a little better, then all of a sudden I'm more likely to get more done on this thing.
You are. But you're an artist.
I'm rare. Yeah, I'm rare.
And most people aren't, you know, operating Adobe, you know, on their phone. You know, they want to text, they want to TikTok, they want a camera, they want to be able to do the basic ways of communication and then have some fun apps, maybe video games or whatever. I can't watch, you know, a TV show on my phone. I can't do it.
I'll download like 5 things before I fly and I probably don't end up opening them.
And I will do the same thing on my tablet and take my tablet with me when I fly. But there's a clear delineation for me between consuming entertainment, you know, if you will, not music. I'll listen to music on my phone. But if you want to see like a movie or a TV show or a documentary or something that is a visual experience, there is a clear line of separation between my phone and my tablet, and the tablet is where I go. And yet, tablet sales, I'm always amazed at how small that number is.
Yeah, I mean, a lot. So think about how tablets would go with you on a regular basis. You know, women have purses. You know, some women have purses, or a lot of women do. And you could throw a tablet in there, no big deal. Briefcases aren't as common with guys, and a lot of people just want to be, you know, not encumbered by carrying something else around, and so it just stays at home.
Well, but even in-home consumption for me, I mean, even if I don't use it as a mobile device, it is still a go-to for me in a lot of ways to consume, you know, entertainment or to get news or whatever. Mm-hmm. And yet it's I can consistently show you across the board just numbers across the globe, across the country, and even NowDecatur.com. You know, the number of people who are accessing our information, whether it's streaming this show right now or whether it's, you know, going to read a story or watch a video or whatever, far and away is a mobile phone. I mean, it's not even close. Second is a PC, which really surprises me, and in a distant third would be a tablet.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, for this particular show, sitting at your desk while you're working and streaming, you know, at the office, I guess now at home is why PC is number two, but tablets just...
No, smart speakers, and I mean, there's a lot of options.
Yeah, there are.
Anyway, we spent way too much time on that. I apologize. When we get back here, Mayor Julie Moore Wolf will join us a little later today. Tom Schneider will be in. Howard is in Nebraska as we speak, finishing up planting, and we'll get into why those billboards popped up on everybody's radar screen yesterday. Plus, Courtney Carson from Richland and Dale Coley will be with us a little later today, and Tony from the Community Foundation. Back with more after the Marquee Coffee Break. Fresh roasting coffee locally in Decatur for over 40 years. Marquee Coffee, the official drink of choice for discerning coffee drinkers everywhere. The magic is in their beans.
Are you or your loved one thinking of retirement? Discover a new beginning at Tanglewood Village. We are an affordable, independent retirement community with a home-like atmosphere. Located in Decatur on Route 36 East. Come in for a tour, and while you're here, stay for lunch and enjoy a delicious home-cooked meal. With its beautiful landscape, rural setting, and a staff devoted to your needs, it is then that you will know this community is like no other.
Tanglewood Village, a new beginning for your retirement. Call 423-5838 or visit tanglewoodvillage.com.
Spring into fashion with Shop on Main. This boutique in downtown Decatur is ready for spring with fabulous colors, easy-to-wear styles, and a fantastic selection of apparel, gifts, and accessories. If you're back in the office, dining out with friends, or attending events, you will look and feel your best when you're dressed in style from Shop on Main. Modern looks, old-fashioned pampering. At 407 North Main or 24/7 online at shop-on-main.com. And don't forget Mom on Mother's Day, May 9th. Awesome Mother's Day gifts available at Shop on Main.
If you're not getting as much drill out of your drill,
If your circular saw is making you dizzy, and if your Sawzall isn't sawing at all, it might be time for a new tool battery. Rex Battery has just the battery that will fit the manufacturer's specifications. We stock our batteries fresh so you get longer life and more power. You don't need to remember any part numbers or secret codes. In fact, you can bring your old battery in and we'll know exactly which one you need. We've spent decades dealing in batteries and know them better than just about anybody. Best of all, your battery is likely sitting right here waiting for you. No need to hope it gets delivered. No need to go to a chain and try to guess which one you need. If your projects are battery powered, Rex Battery can get it going. From the tiniest hearing aids to the biggest farm equipment, nobody knows batteries better than Rex. 1330 East El Dorado, Decatur. Rex with a double X battery. Generations
of power.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
Back here on a Tuesday. Good morning and welcome. Mayor Julie Moore Wolf joins us. I would suggest to you right off the bat, Mayor, that there are two COVID-19 vaccination clinics going on today at the Millikan University campus. Moderna Clinic, 9 a.m. till noon. Second dose will be June 1st and be scheduled on-site tomorrow. Then there's a Johnson & Johnson from 1 to 3:15. Register for an appointment is strongly encouraged. Limited walk-in appointments will be available. Vaccines are out there and available at Crossing, both of the hospitals, Coley Corner Drugs and Forsyth. That's not the problem right now. The problem is convincing those people out there that are still unsure or have hesitancy about this. But yet, if I look at the numbers, we talked about what Friday looked like. We got all the weekend and Monday, 68 cases over the weekend, 23 on Saturday, 28 on Sunday, 17 yesterday. The danger here is without herd immunity, meaning we get to that 75 or 80% of people who have either had COVID or get vaccinated, these variants will run rampant, and the chances are we're going to get one of them that is not going to be controlled by vaccines. And the longer we do this, the more the chances there are of that happening.
Right. I know everybody is so anxious to get things back to normal, to, you know, cross that bridge, so to speak, to where we can have a lot more people at events, et cetera. And you know, there were huge frustrations early on, and people who were desperately trying to get the vaccine, and you'd be on hold, or you'd try to get through a hotline, and every slot would be taken. That is not an issue. If you want a vaccine, it's not hard. You have your choice of where to get it, how to get it, in some cases, which vaccine to get. So, you know, and I want to encourage parents, you know, we're very close to having vaccines available for school-age kids. I'm drawing a blank if it's 12, I believe, is the age. I'll have to double-check that. But which would make the school year so much better next year. We need kids back in school. We need people to be able to plan their events, you know, whether it's a wedding or whether it's something the park district is putting on or a dance class. We want you to be safe. And, Brian, you know, I'm going to wear my mask. I'm going to be careful. But, man, I want to hit a time where if I'm, you know, claustrophobic and I want to take my mask off, it's okay, you know, that I'm not breaking a rule. We need to get to that point, but we can't do it alone. And, you know, I feel like I'm preachy, et cetera, but it's just, we just need people to understand and to, you know, take a look at the science, talk to your physician if you're unsure about it. But really, we've got to move the needle on this, or we're not going to be where we want to be.
I got a press release yesterday from Memorial Hospital in Taylorville, and Bill Jones is a gentleman who wanted to share his story. And 4 days before testing positive for COVID, he walked a mile to his deer stand, shot a deer, hauled the carcass back to his vehicle himself. He's 59 years old, no problem. 4 days later, he tests positive for COVID. 2 days after that, he has what he felt like was bronchitis, shortness of breath, and was hospitalized. This is on November 24th when everything went downhill. Now, we are in May of this year. This was November of 2020. He is still basically operating on one lung. His wife was also hospitalized. She has since fully recovered, but he is still dragging this around with him and wants people to know that this isn't something you either catch and you're fine, or you catch or you die. There's a lot of people out there that are dealing with long-term health ramifications from this.
And, you know, we have such a phenomenal opportunity. I mean, basically a miracle was pulled off. And we got this vaccine, in my estimation, a year before I ever hoped we would see anything like it, let alone be able to distribute it in America and get those shots into arms. I mean, you've got to give a lot of credit to both the Trump administration as well as the Biden administration for making this happen and making it, you know, it wasn't flawless. Okay, I'll give you that. But, you know, vaccines are available. I really, really, really would never have expected to have the availability we do. So, you know, everybody is so anxious and angry and, you know, it's shot, get it. Say, you know, this didn't happen, Brian, with polio. Okay. People didn't push back at it. And I'm wondering, you know, if we had a vaccine for cancer, and we do for the HPV, you know, vaccine is available for younger kids, for teenagers. But, you know, if we had a vaccine, a new vaccine, and they said this will keep you from getting breast cancer, this will keep you from getting colon cancer, do you think we'd have a political argument going on? No. We'd be saying, thank God, we finally have what we've been praying for, you know, decades. This will keep us from dying a horrible death. And yet we've got something that is much more contagious, you know, because you can pass this on to everybody. Healthy people get really sick. And we don't take advantage of it. And what is wrong with us?
What do you think is going to happen here in the state of Illinois and Region 6? And I know everybody's talking about this bridge phase. Our numbers are going the wrong direction for this.
They are. Statewide, though, Brian, hospitalizations are down, and that's the key metric that the administration is watching right now. Chicago was in a much worse state a few weeks ago, not that long ago, but their numbers are coming down and it's manageable. Now, you don't want to be the guy from Taylorville who ends up with COVID in the hospital, and you can avoid that by getting a vaccine. He didn't have that opportunity because we didn't have it available. You're taking a healthy guy, you know, around my age, and I mean, I couldn't drag a deer, you know, 2 feet, let alone, you know, back to my car. But, you know, we've got it available. We just need to be better about, you know, just shaking off the hesitancy and moving forward. That's how we're going to get out of this. But it's my understanding, and I could be wrong on this, that the entire state will move at the same time. And Governor Pritzker has been very hopeful the last few days about, you know, getting to the, you know, getting some of these capacity limits lifted, which is a huge deal.
You know, you mentioned polio. It is interesting. I was reading a piece on Capital Facts yesterday that experts say, you know, in 1955, I'll tell you what the difference is. There wasn't social media. There wasn't the ability to pass along misinformation and flat-out lies about things the way they are today. And people had more respect and trust in our scientific community. I mean, it was maybe at the peak in this country when we thought, oh, my God, wonder of wonders, they're able to do miraculous things. Now you give somebody a Facebook account or a TikTok account and everybody's an expert, and we didn't have that in 1955.
No, and Brian, you and I have never claimed to be experts in this. Okay.
Never.
We're basing
not one
this
time.
On scientists and leadership and medical personnel and these, you know, people on Facebook who are just, well, I've heard. Well, no, you haven't. You read a headline on something, or you listen to somebody who's not an expert either. And so, you know, you and I are communicators. Our job is to get this message to the public, how you can get this vaccine, why it's important, what we need to do to stay safe. That's where we're experts. But we're not basing this on what we know from eighth grade science. We are basing this on experts that I have all the respect for in the world. Have experts made mistakes in this? Absolutely. But we got hit with a pandemic and no playbook. You know, that's what it is. So I urge people to do your research and, you know, check your sources, because a lot of the stuff that's on social media is just flat out wrong. And so Okay. Check back and make sure, go through it.
Take a minute or so and tell me about the city council meeting last night.
Well, it was very interesting because tornado sirens were going off as we were trying to run the meeting. And I was watching radar as we knew the storm was moving in and getting a lot of texts from both my husband and my son's a sheriff's deputy. So they were watching the storm pretty carefully. We were in the Civic Center Auditorium, which was a blessing because it's a natural shelter. So we were in the safest place we could have been at that time. Rather than scattering, I did advise the audience and I interrupted the meeting to say we're under a, you know, tornado warning. You know, just if anybody wants to stop the meeting, let's see. But I wanted to give you that option, but we proceeded. Talks a lot about what we'd like to do on Route 51 coming into town between Pershing and El Dorado, which is to shrink the number of lanes, put in a bike and pedestrian path, allow more green space, and make it a lot more user-friendly, if you would, but, you know, a lot more aesthetically pleasing. We don't need that many lanes of traffic north and south. In some places, it's like five lanes because you've got different turn lanes. We really don't need that, and it just encourages people to run red lights, to speed. You know, we've got St. Teresa's up there. We've got churches along that way. We need to slow it down, and it's a vital key in our revitalization efforts for that part of town.
All right, Mayor, we're out of time. We appreciate it. Have a great day, and we will talk to you first thing tomorrow morning. Coming up next hour, Courtney Carson will join us from Richland Community College. We'll check in with Mark Tupper. Dale Coley will be with us, and Tom Schneider will talk a little bit about this all got ahead of itself by about a week yesterday, is my understanding, with the Buffett for Sheriff. And I want to get to a couple of the comments that I've seen about that, not the crazy stuff. I just, you know, the people that live in Crazy Town, you realize all you're doing is talking to each other, right? It's not moving up any chain. We'll take a break. Back with more after stories and news.
No matter where you are, we're there. WSOY Decatur, 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Shiler with your stories now, brought to you by Huff Home Specialties, your best home investment. City crews will be mowing the hillsides of the underpass in the 1200 to 1700 blocks of North Brush College Road beginning today, weather permitting. This work will cause the closure of the northbound lane in the 1200 to 1700 blocks of North Brush College Road starting at 8 a.m. and will continue till approximately 2 p.m. today. Flaggers, signs, and cones will be present to direct traffic. Motorists should slow down, use extreme caution, and should expect delays through the work zone. About one-third of the food and beverages we consume depend on pollinators. Pollinators also contribute to plant and animal diversity in our natural areas. Learn how to attract pollinators to your garden with Illinois Extension educator Ken Johnson.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.